friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA. I'm delighted to welcome Councillor Nuala McAllister, who is the Lord Mayor of Belfast and Lady Lord Mayor. How do we address you?
It's Lord Mayor, yes.
It's Lord Mayor.
So we don't gender discriminate, it's Lord Mayor.
There you go. This interview is going so terrific already. you're on a trip to the U.S. and now you're in New York. But what was the purpose of this trip primarily?
So the purpose of this trip is twofold. It's to launch the Belfast International Arts Festival, which we'll come on to, but also to consult with the Irish diaspora over our bid for Belfast and Derry to be the European Capital of Culture in 2023. So we're going about that bid at the minute. It's very intense, and we want to put together our best opportunity that we can to ensure that we can be successful.
It sounds attractive, in the sense that you're talking about Belfast and Derry, because obviously that would be a huge boon to Northern Ireland.
Oh, well, it would be huge, actually. It would be quite huge. I think that's a bit of an understatement in that the entire spotlight will be shone on our region, and it will be coincidental that it's 25 years from the Good Friday Agreement. So it's our chance in Northern Ireland to make sure that we can embrace our diversity and celebrate our success as a region through the culture of the people who live there and the people who have come to live in our two cities. So it's a fantastic opportunity for us to showcase our local talent and for us to welcome our new people that live in our cities.
Yeah. And the diaspora, that's a big group.
Oh, it is a huge group. You know, I've been seeing so many people and meeting so many new faces over the past few days. I was in Chicago before New York, and one thought that I had was, are there any people left in Ireland? Because we have such a huge population of Irish people here in the United States, and what's so heartwarming to see is the connection that everyone makes with each other to ensure that they can retain their links to back home.
Let me ask you, well, first of all, a couple of things. You represent and you the Alliance Party. Can you tell us what the Alliance Party is?
Okay, so for those listeners that maybe aren't aware, I assume most people maybe aren't aware, in Northern Ireland we have a unionist and nationalist population, and that dates back from our conflict before the Good Friday Agreement in 1998. The Alliance Party is not unionist nor nationalist. It is the only cross-community party. We believe it's a constitutional question whether Northern Ireland becomes part of United Ireland or we remain in the United Kingdom has been answered by the Good Friday Agreement in that it is up to the people. And so what we are focused on is the integration of people in Northern Ireland, not to just simply tolerate but to integrate, because separate but equal, and you know in the United States through the history here that separate but not equal is simply not good enough.
I would assume that you wouldn't be offended if we were to group you into something which is very noble in that, in conflict resolution. That would be,
It's what people should, it's what people should aspire to, really, is after conflict, if people should aspire to integration. And Northern Ireland is examined throughout the world. It's looked upon as a peace process to admire because we set up a peace in Northern Ireland. We ensured that we could get government, and we ensured that our violent past remained in the past. We are seeing the benefits now from that 20 years later. The first people born after the Good Friday Agreement have just voted for a time, but we still in essence do have that separation in politics. A lot of questions in politics relate back to identity in Northern Ireland, but we have a lot of aspirations regardless of that, and our people work together quite a lot.
How and how close do you think that the political parties in Northern Ireland will find a common ground and have the assembly up and running which has to happen.
Yeah. So we currently, as you just said, we don't have government, regional government, because it collapsed. I do think that the political parties are closer together than what the media portrays them to be. Because of course, whenever you go into negotiations, I'm sure that they have their conversations, and once they go outside to the media, that might be a different story that they tell. I think that they are closer. Closer together than what we see in the media, but what we need to do is essentially set aside red lines and ensure that we can move forward for the benefit of everyone in Northern Ireland. Belfast City Council, I represent Belfast as Lord Mayor, and it has become a responsibility for us to pick up pieces that are left behind because we have no functioning government. And I think as a City Council, we're making great strides in representing Northern Ireland as the capital. We're the economic driver. We are doing great work in ensuring that Belfast does not lag behind.
Your goal is to globalise Belfast. Can you tell
us about that? My theme or agenda for this year as Lord Mayor is Global Belfast. So it's about ensuring that my city is profiled internationally. But that means internationally at home as well as abroad. I want to promote a city that is open, welcoming and inclusive. That's open for business, investors, tourists, and open for those who seek refuge. It's welcome to those who have come to Belfast, and inclusive for everyone once they are here, no matter where they are from, no matter their walk of life, whether it is business or tourism. And I've been doing that by linking in with the diaspora whilst I'm here in the United States, and I've been doing that whilst I'm at home to ensure that everyone does celebrate our diversity back home.
Just to maybe pursue a little further, as we look at Southern Ireland, many would perceive Dublin as being the hub of Southern Ireland, whereas that would be offensive to many of us. Is Belfast considered to be the hub? That's where everything happens.
It is the hub of Northern Ireland, I think, yes. But maybe is that because I'm biased, because I'm the Lord Mayor of Belfast? Yeah. We have some beautiful places in Northern Ireland. Derry was the UK capital of culture a few years back. We have the Giant's Causeway, which our American tourists love to visit, which is just beautiful. We have the great mountains of Moher that sweep down to the sea. Northern Ireland is just so beautiful and green. But Belfast is the economic driver. That's the reality. It's where we have most opportunities in Northern Ireland, and we have really seen it flourish in the last 5 years. Of course, Belfast was also home to the Titanic, and she was fine when she left Belfast, I will just add. And we do like to celebrate that significance of our shipbuilding history, and so we've kind of had the advantage to rebuild that area where the Titanic was once built. So we've moved forward in industries and had a new industrial revolution turned digital revolution back home.
Yeah. Maybe you're best to introduce my co-guest on the program, and the person of Richard Wakeley.
So Richard Wakeley is with me here today. This evening we're going to launch the Belfast International Arts Festival. So this is happening because of Richard and his hard work. Richard has just a small team of people that put together the programme, one of the most successful and longest standing in Belfast history. So over to you then, Richard.
Well, thank you very much, Lord Mayor. It's a pleasure to be with you here in New York. And Adrian, lovely to talk to you too.
Your bio, and we see a lot of them, but is there some areas that you haven't covered? You know, it reminds me somewhat of in the west of Ireland when there was a call for, there were like a couple of parish priests who came into areas that were minding their own business, and they built churches, and they really riled people up, and this was great. And then they were called to do the same thing over and over again. But there are, you have served in such tremendous and great areas of leadership, not just in Northern Ireland, but tell us a little bit about it.
Well, I've been very, very fortunate in my career, Adrian. I suppose at the end of the day, I'm a cultural activist. That's what I am. I've been fortunate enough to work in London for 19 years. I've produced, co-produced, presented 18 West End productions and a production here on Broadway. Frank McGuinness's Great Someone Who'll Watch Over Me.
Yes.
That came out of the theatre that I worked in London. It was a great honour to return to Ireland and to be offered the job of managing director of our national theatre, the Abbey Theatre, where I was for several years. I was very
fortunate. You were there for the rejuvenation of today.
It was a golden age, I think, when I was there. Can I say that, Aidan? I mean, I'm very proud of the time that I had at the Abbey. And, you know, delighted that the Abbey still goes from strength to strength. It holds a very special place in my heart. But to be back in Belfast, where I was educated, although my family's a Dublin family, I have a northern twang, as you can hear.
Yeah.
And I was educated in the north. So to be able to return to Belfast at this time, 20 years on from the Belfast Peace Agreement, and to I suppose, use that experience in terms of creative entrepreneurship to help reshape our society is a great privilege, and I'm very, very lucky in what I do in running this wonderful festival.
When and most representatives recently anyway have come to America and to North America have made great inroads in terms of investment and trade. The culture and the cultural aspects of what you are, you know, obviously an expert in doing. Is there a separate degree of support from the diaspora, and particularly from North America? Obviously, what you undertake is huge. Mm-hmm. It is costly. And do you have a separate route in terms of funding from that, or does it go through government?
Well, a large portion of our funding comes from the public sector.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because we have public sector ideals and values. So we're lucky to get money from the tourist authorities, from the Arts Council. We haven't actually mined financially the links over here in America, but our festival, Adrian, has the strongest cultural links of all the festivals on the island of Ireland with America. And we regularly bring over artists to work with us, to work with our communities from North America. So that has been the basis of our relationship up until now. But the diaspora, as the Lord Mayor was saying, has a very important role to play in the future for us. And as part of the civic engagement to build support for the bid for European Capital of Culture designation in 2023, we're asking our diaspora to actively get involved in backing the bid.
Mm-hmm.
And that's terribly important. And that's why the Lord Mayor and I are here today and marking the submission of our bid in a few weeks' time with a special reception here in New York this evening.
The Belfast Festival, the International Festival in Belfast, it pretty much stretches through the month of October.
Yeah, it's been going for 55 years, and it takes up most of days and nights in October.
Yeah. Huge undertaking when you figure that most festivals a week is, you know, is a
well, we're
is
ambitious.
A stretch. Yeah.
We're ambitious. I mean, the Belfast International Arts Festival is a major European festival. It's not just a festival about Northern Ireland. It's not just a civic festival. It's a major European festival.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of the cultural calendar, one indeed of the highlights of the cultural calendar for the island of Ireland every year. And we're very proud of that fact. We're very proud of the fact that we are ambitious for ourselves and for the city and our people. So that's why we spend time searching out the best acts from around the world. Artists from 14 countries are appearing with us this year over the 22-day period in all disciplines. You don't have to travel to London or Edinburgh or New York to see these people. Mm-hmm. You can come to Belfast.
Yeah. Tell us about the categories. Again, you're talking about the disciplines, the categories. Yeah. Ranging from...
theatre, dance, literature, film, music, both classical through to roots music. You know, we have a lot of talks as well. A lot of it's based around contemporary arts practice, so living artists. And it's a very wide and expansive program. We're very proud of the fact that many of our events are free, Adrian.
Yes.
So, you know, that's a very important part of our character, was we believe that art is for everyone. So access and inclusivity and diversity are the cornerstones upon which the festival operates.
Yeah. Now, you have actually, obviously, the history of the festival covering more than a half a century grew before, during, and after the Good Friday Agreement. Mm-hmm. What is the common theme? Something just comes to mind. We were always very impressed here with, again, pre-Good Friday Agreement, say the Cross-Border Orchestra of Northern Ireland, were actually artists, musicians, got together without any, you know, affiliation with, or we should say maybe despite the political situation, got together and actually produced something which, again, they were, you know, very proud of. And that had a lot, obviously, to do with the border. Mm. How far and to what degree does the festival incorporate, say, outside of Northern Ireland, say, into the South?
We're an international festival, so as I say, we have 14 countries visiting us throughout the year in this edition. We have many colleagues from the Republic coming to work with us. We co-produce and we co-commission with colleagues from the South, and that's a very important part of what we do. We're about bringing people together in a civic space and in a creative space, and we do that through working with like-minded artists and like-minded organizations, Adrian, across the city. So you will actually find us up the Falls Road and down the Newtonards Road in the north of the city and in the south of the city. And the strength of the festival is its diversity and its ability to work with many partners. This year, for example, Lord Mayor and I were just talking about some of the funding earlier on. We're thrilled that the Irish government in Dublin are one of our sponsors this year. And indeed, this is the second year. So we get money from Westminster, we get money from Belfast, and we get money from Dublin. We're very fortunate, but that is a testament, I believe, to the values that we espouse of working together, of inclusivity, that civic dimension, I suppose, we're talking about.
We have, through the years, broadcast from Ireland from many cultural events, and one of the most striking, I think, was covering Cultus Culturae Éireann for the first time, crossing the border, as it were, into Northern Ireland. And many would say at the time, and of course the naysayers would have said, that's a very bad decision, and why would they do that, and so forth. Mm. And we can say, honestly, that it was probably one of the most tremendous cultural experiences. Nobody cared. It was...
Absolutely.
And that's it. Now, in terms of the size of the festival, can you put some numbers on the number of visitors? You've already said 14 countries. The approximate number of performances, acts.
Yeah. I mean, it's a very, very big event this year, Adrian. So we have 191 events taking place across the city. So it is huge. And it's, say, 14 countries, 12 premiers. And, you know, we're a festival of scale. was, as I said at the beginning of the interview, and this is very important, is that we are ambitious. And I worry that, you know, in Northern Ireland, that our history has made us rather parochial, rather inward-looking. Mm. Well, our festival is outward-looking. You know, we're a globally connected festival because we believe that Northern Ireland and the island of Ireland and the islands of the British Isles need to be globally connected. We're part of a wider global community, and we reflect that through the stories that our artists bring to us through their creations.
I want to come back to Lord Mayor, Nuala McAllister, and again, obviously, we cannot ignore the advent of Brexit and obviously how that is going to affect Northern Ireland. Just generally, maybe give us your opinion on that first.
Well, we can't ignore, and nor should we ignore it. One of the key things to mention here is that currently Northern Ireland doesn't have an executive, a government, which means currently Northern Ireland does not have a voice in the Brexit negotiations. Mm-hmm. And I know that it's up to the Prime Minister of the UK, Theresa May, but Northern Ireland currently doesn't have that voice speaking up for us and what do we want to see, because we all want to see a frictionless border. We're the only part of the United Kingdom that shares a border with the country that will remain in the European Union. We have so much juggling going on at the minute.
Yeah.
We have so many unanswered questions. And I'm going to be honest, I don't think there's anyone who has those answers right now. I don't think there is any person within the UK government in Northern Ireland, the Republic of Ireland, can give concrete answers to people's fears and worries about what will happen. All we can do is just hope that we get our government up and running, hope that the Prime Minister is speaking in our best interests.
How, though, in the meantime, obviously, you know, with your upcoming, you know, now world-famous international Belfast Cultural Festival, that you haven't been waiting. So who are you actually reaching out to? Who are you speaking with in terms, say, in the UK? Mm-hmm. Or is that something that you're doing? So obviously, you're doing it on your, you know, on your own without the representation. Yeah. But
so Belfast hasn't been waiting at all. In fact, at Belfast City Council, we've been providing excellent leadership. We have a fantastic team of people in our chief executive, and we're actually trying to pursue a city deal for Belfast and the wider and the wider area, which would ensure economic growth for Belfast and therefore economic growth for the entirety of Northern Ireland. Mm-hmm. So we're continuing to move forward because the world will go on, the world will continue. We are having conversations with Westminster regarding issues that we do have powers over. We cannot step obviously outside of where our powers do not lie, but we're still getting on with business because we have to, and that's just the way it works in politics, that sometimes you get the answers to votes that you perhaps don't like, but even within the differences within Belfast City Council, we are providing excellent leadership, and we're moving forward regardless of what happens in 2 years, or maybe even expanded at this point with Brexit. Nobody really knows. It's all a juggling game for both EU leaders and the UK leaders at the minute.
You know, we had Alistair Hamilton as a guest a couple of weeks ago, who on this program, who again represents, you know, the not only inward investment but the trade. As Lord Mayor of Belfast, yes, obviously you have the Alistair Hamiltons, and you have many others. But how do you coordinate as Lord Mayor? The great number, in the absence, again, I'm sure, of Northern Ireland executive.
Well, we actually have great collaboration between both ourselves, the Belfast City Council, and InvestNI that you just mentioned, whom Alistair works for, indeed our colleagues here in New York. And whilst we're here in New York, we'll be meeting with a number of people, those to welcome to Belfast, and those to say thank you for, as well as the diaspora too. And we basically link in organisation by organisation. It's at the kind of groundwork level, and we have dedicated staff members, and we are very open in terms of sharing of information and connections, and everyone knows how vitally important that is. So we do a great job in Belfast, but at the minute it would be great if we did have ministers, but actually investment is as high now as it ever has been, even before.
And of course, we're almost at this stage of the game, take for granted the significance of tourism and the amazing advances that have been made in that with or without a border or the hard border or any other border, the island of Ireland has been marketed as such. And that has to play a huge role.
Oh, last year in Belfast, the figure was at 330 million from tourism. And we are seeing the effects of Game of Thrones. I'm not sure if you've ever watched it, but the majority of it is filmed in Belfast and locations across Northern Ireland. And that has created such huge economic growth for our region. We've seen so many people taking tours across Northern Ireland. We've had more film studios now open in Belfast.
Absolutely.
People come in to actually film there, which is excellent. Mm-hmm. And we have much more to offer, much more in terms of our skills base, our location, and what we have to offer from people coming outside in wanting to promote Belfast.
Richard, I would like Richard Wakely, who is the director and the person who can either be congratulated for big successes or alternatively will take the rap if it doesn't turn out to be that. But just tell us about, again, the amount of, first of all, the participation. How many thousands of people do you expect, and what's the track record?
Well, this year we're expecting 200,000 people at least to engage with our festival. And that's primarily because we've been very lucky, very fortunate to attract a very big iconic ceramic sculpture to Belfast, and that's called Poppy's Weeping Window. The full sculpture was first seen at the Tower of London, and it's a piece of work that is inspired by the First World War and speaks to the loss of life during the First World War. It's the only place on the island of Ireland that is hosting it, and we already know there's a lot of people coming to see it. So it's part of what the Lord Mayor was saying, it's part of that tourism drive, but it's also unique. So it's the only place in the island of Ireland you're going to get to see that, and indeed many other wonderful events as well throughout the month of October.
Can you give us the website?
www.belfastinternationalartsfestival.com. Very easy.
I leave the last word to the Lord Mayor, and I know your time is very limited here, and your handlers are going to wallop us if we don't get you out of here. But tell us about the Titanic Centre.
You mean the Titanic tourist attraction that just won number one in the world? Yes, we are a leading...
Yeah, don't hold back.
Yes, we are a leading tourist attraction, and celebrating our culture in shipbuilding is just part of our overall culture and identity in Northern Ireland, and part of that relates back to what we're trying to do as a city council to build in the old industries of Belfast, but also create opportunities through that, both for those who visit and those who live here. So the Titanic Visitor Set tourist attraction is excellent. If you haven't been, I surely suggest that you do. That whole area is regenerating within Titanic, and
it's not a day trip.
Belfast is not a day trip. It isn't. And then we have just Belfast, and outside we have our links to the Giant's Causeway, as we mentioned before, and which people absolutely love to visit, and Bushmills, our distillery, which is not far from the Giant's Causeway either. But Belfast just has to be your number one and your first stop. And also City Hall, where I work, is a fantastic building. It dates back to 1906 when it was first opened to the public, so a lot of history there. And we have just opened the first exhibition of the history of Belfast. And I say that because it's quite huge. We got political agreement that there was no narrative around the history of Belfast. It's just, it's there to show through sculpture, through art and through artefacts. And so it's an excellent opportunity. Free, open to all in Belfast.
The best website, again, for Belfast and for the bid on Belfast.
So belfastcitycouncil.co.uk, hashtag WeAre2023. We're launching... for part of launching our bid for the European Capital of Culture. So I do suggest that you get involved through contacting council, but also online, Facebook and social media, which everyone, it's at the hit tap of a button, you're able to do it, hashtag WeAre2023. And the question that I'll ask you is, if you're part of Irish America, what does home mean to you? And if you're the Irish diaspora, what does home mean to you? If you're from Belfast, you're from Derry, just get involved and tell us exactly how you feel.
Thank both of you. I want to thank both of you for being here.
Thank you very much, Adrian.
You've got a great story to tell.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Adrian.
And friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA.